Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffer? I know it's Friday, but there. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp on a Friday. Friday Night Lights. What is this? April 16, 2021. I am sorry that we are reporting to you a day later than normal. I was basically tied up yesterday. Couldn't do the show. But we're here today. We're trying not to let the week go by. I already missed 1 week in April, beginning of April. So I didn't want to let another week go by. But we didn't get a chance to speak to the people, you know. We didn't get a chance to, you know, see what's going on in the streets. So I don't know if a night, because it's an off night, I didn't really promote it like I usually do. I don't know if it's going to be a long show tonight. I mean, the fact that DJ C-Siren, say hello to the people.
Hey,
she's here, but she might fall asleep. It's been a lot of beers. So it could be one of those shows where, you know, it could just be me getting off a lot of old topics, letting y'all know what I think about what's going on. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But if you want to call in, if you're here with us on a Friday night, again, I know I'm sorry that it's a day late. But, you know, if you're still out in the streets listening and you see my posts, you know, call in 929-477-3975. With all the pleasantries, I think we're done. And we can get right to some good discussions. So, it's been a lot of, you know, mass shooting stuff. So we can get into all the mass shootings in a minute. The big news that happened last week. So we were on the air Thursday, and I believe DMX either died that night or Friday. And, you know, so of course we want to say rest in peace, DMX. I mean, 50 years old is young. Like, you know what I mean? I was hanging out with a couple folks today, and you realize, like, you know, my wife wants to do something for my 40th birthday this year. And you're like, man, you know, I'm getting old. I'm turning 40. A lot of folks I knew, I can't say a lot. When everybody says a lot of people didn't make it this far, it's true in the grand scheme of things because a lot of people do die. Yeah. Did a lot of my people not make it this far? No. But there is a good handful of people I know who just didn't make it, you know. And, you know, I always try to make sure I'm conscious of the words I'm using, especially when I'm sober. And I'm not sober now, so forgive me. But there are, you know, friends in high school. I have friends in college that died, right? Then I got friends that I made in college that, like, when we were in, like, 30s, you know, you get a call. And it's like, yo, homie dead, left behind 3 kids and a wife. And you're just like, fuck. So, you know, with all the health crisis and all that stuff going on, being 40 is a blessing, man. I got a good wife, got a good kid, good family. Nothing's perfect. I'm not one of those people who try to portray, oh, I have the perfect life. You know, everything about me and my wife is 100% great. It's not. You know what I mean? It's not. You know, we have our issues. Thankfully, they're not, like, huge, huge issues, but we have our issues. My child is the greatest and all that stuff. He's not. I mean, he's the greatest for me and in my household because I love the human being he is, but he's not perfect. But he's a great kid. So, you know, are things perfect with me as I approach 40? No. But they're damn good. You know what I mean? Like, you know, things like with my mom and my sister, I wish could be better. With my family, with my distant cousins and all that, I wish those relationships could be stronger, could be better. I wish they basically listened to me more, but I wish I wasn't as stubborn and I could listen to them more. I wish I could help them with their demons more. But it's still great relationships. And I'm alive to share those experiences with. You know, I'm alive to see my mom come from some dark places and get back to working on herself and being back to independent. You know, I've seen a lot, you know, so as I approach 40, it's like you think about, you know, DMX dying at 50. It's like, yo, I only got 10 more years left. Now, of course, hopefully I don't die at 50. But, you know, I could die tomorrow. I hope not, pray not. You know, I don't want to speak that into existence. But DMX passing, you know, think about all the stuff that he did within his life and just a quick 50 years. Like, everything I've done in my 40, can't complain, but I would look at his life, you know, of course you're just visualizing from TV. You're just looking at it from court documents, TMZ videos, you know, the internet. I wasn't fighting nearly as many demons as him. It's that yin and yang. It's like, man, he was fighting so much, he still accomplished so much. Like, that's how you know there's some great people on this earth, some really talented individuals who reach a height of success. And well, I'm not an artist either, so it's just not my personality. I hate creative in that aspect, but like he did so much, and he always, you can tell, I mean, I guess that's why his raps appealed to so many people. Like, he was upset with a lot of things. And as I approach 40, like, I'm just blessed that I'm not upset at much. There's not a lot that, I mean, I'm not perfect. There's a couple of things I wish I could change. There's a couple of things that I wish people would notice about me. I strive hard to be a certain type of individual. I wish I would get recognition more for that. And sometimes I feel shortchanged. But that's like a selfish part of it, right? That ain't like I'm screaming out here for help. Like, there's something like mentally going on with me that I'm like upset. Like, I'm pretty happy, right? You listen to DMX rapping and you're like, yo, he was upset a lot, right? And it's like, yo, how do you express that? How do you get that off your chest? And you do it through music. And then you realize, yo, it's still not good enough, which is scary. But you realize about how much you accomplished, and you still think that, like, you accomplished all this money, all this success, all these records sold, all these people love you. Like, you look at these videos of him and Woodstock, and it's all these people just screaming the lyrics that he wrote or rap, and you realize just he's still chasing a high of something else. Like, that high isn't good enough. And I guess the blessing of my personality is, you know, I enjoy getting high, you know, every now and then. It's not a huge thing, but, you know, I can understand why people enjoy having a buzz, whether it be liquor, whether it be weed. There's all different types of highs. I've never wanted to experience like a crack high. And then you talk about the DMX story. Whenever somebody does that story, like, a big part of the story is just, you know, like you said, his uncle gave him a blunt that had crack rocks in it, and that, like, started him down that path. And that's scary. Because drugs is a social thing at first. You know, weed is a social drug. Alcohol is a social drug. Smoking cigarettes, cigars, you know, those are social drugs. When you start smoking crack or doing heroin, I just assume that's like a lonely drug. They always say it's a great high, but I'm glad that as I approach 40, now I'm going to start this off on a somber tone, but I'm just glad that as I approach 40, as I watch DMX pass away, apparently over a drug overdose, which caused him cardiac arrest. Like, I'm glad I'm never reaching for that type of high. Now, of course, that limits everything. It's probably why I'll never be as successful as, right? I'll never sell millions of records. I'll probably never have millions and millions of dollars. But I'll also probably be a lot happier. You know, I'm not saying that DMX wasn't happy, because I don't know the man. I don't know his family, and this isn't to disrespect him. I just look at it as a fan of his music and as just somebody who finds it interesting, his path and his journey, where all the demons he made it through his teenage years and then bursting on the rap scene, getting all this fame and fortune and just movies. Like y'all got, like, DMX at one point was considered a hotter rapper than Jay-Z. Like, DMX was the hottest guy in the game. And that high wasn't enough. It's just scary. If I ever got to the point where I was making millions of dollars and I'm on stage and thousands and thousands of people are chanting names and things that I wrote, I would think, like, you couldn't tell me nothing. But for somebody to reach that and still be looking for another high, like, I'm just glad that man's at peace, man. And again, I don't know my almost famous. And I don't mean this by any disrespect, but it's tough. But X definitely has a great catalog. He's got some duds out there, too. Like, nobody's going to say it. He's got some duds, but, like, and they'll tell you that his first four albums all went platinum. Them last two wasn't good enough to go platinum. Them first two was tough. Grand Champ wasn't awful. Just because you go platinum doesn't mean anything. Like, his first two albums are great. That's what's undeniable. You can say, oh, his first four albums went platinum. I don't know what. I mean, Magna Carta, Holy Snail went platinum probably, and I didn't think it was that great of an album, even though I have come around to saying it's a lot better than I gave it credit for when it first came out, as I re-listened to it. But that probably went platinum. Just because a million people bought it doesn't mean a million people liked it, so I never understood that argument. Like, if you're a popular artist, people are going to buy your music just to check it out to see if it's good. And then, you know, they'll decide then if it's good or not. But, you know, so DMX to go, first four albums go platinum. But them first two albums, and the fact that first album, Flesh of My Blood, dropped the same year, is just, whew. Because I think DMX's Dark and Hell is Hot had like 20 some odd tracks on it, just on that. And the Flesh of My Flesh, Come Right Back, is just, I don't know if there's ever been an artist who had a better year than that. Like, he basically dropped 40 like great songs within like a year and a half. Of course, not all of them are great, but if you even want to say 30 out of that 40 are great, What other artists you know who had a year where he dropped 30 out of 40 songs that were great? We're talking about DMX's first two albums. Because his first album had like 22 songs on it, deemed a classic. And then the second album that dropped 6 months later, I think had 18 songs on it. And that was deemed a classic. DJ C. Sire, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I didn't listen to any of his projects.
Ever? Is it because it said you thought he was the devil?
I don't know.
Is it because Q-Tip came out?
Probably. I'm not from top to bottom, so I don't know this argument of a full 20 song project. It was great top to bottom from being honest. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was saying I don't know if another artist has ever dropped so much music within a calendar year and put out so much great music. What artist has put out, like you said, we're talking about within the calendar year, because that year that DMX had is arguably one of the greatest ever, right?
Yeah. No. Well,
I don't know when Michael Jackson put out Thriller, the music video versus the album. But I'm assuming that's within the same year. Like, that's a hell of a run. You put out one of the greatest music videos of all time, considerably with one of the top 20 greatest albums of all time.
But it's for the same project.
But there's a whole lot of music that came out where the videos ain't good. He put out one of the greatest music videos, probably the most iconic music video of all time. That's a good run. But I'm just saying, in terms of just the quality of music, I don't think there's another artist that dropped, maybe Bob Marley, if you start getting me on the Jamaican side, because they be putting out music every other day, and they all sound the same to me, and I don't want to disrespect Bob. But I don't think there's another artist who's ever dropped that much music within a calendar year and had that much great music within that span. Because I want to say, if he dropped 40 official songs within that year and a half, 30 of them, okay, I'll even just take it to 50% and say 20 of them were great, because both albums were deemed classic. I don't know if there's another artist in the history of music that dropped 20 great songs in a calendar year. Because 20's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure. I have two projects that go together. Not just the first and second album.
Because, even if you go to Biggie Smalls' Double Death's Life After Death, I'm going to say that had around 20 songs, but I wouldn't say all 20 were great. All 20 were good. That's deemed a classic. I'm a huge fan of Biggie, but there's not another Sky's the Limit on that album. Like, Hypnotize was the single. I think that song's awful. But Sky's the Limit, that's one of, greatest rap songs ever made, right? I don't think you have anything that's close to that on that album. But there are other good songs on there. When you talk about DMX's first two albums, you're talking about And Warriors Done Started Something, Damien, Get At Me Dog, what's the joke with him, Jay-Z and the Lox on the second album? It's not called Beware. I think you get mixed up with Fun's names or his songs. It's just a lot of great songs. But God bless DMX's soul, because it seemed like it was trouble. I'll never speak for that man. I don't know him or his family. But such a great artist, Like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of his later albums, but them first two, three albums were a huge part of my early college years. And, I hope that man's at peace. Oh. So, DJ C, sorry, you didn't listen to DMX at all?
My roommate had DMX.
Is this Rev Run? I'm surprised she had DMX, but she seems little. was DMX up drawing circles talking about the devil? It seems like a reverend type of thing. Not that she's with the devil or anything, but it seems like she would be interested in that type of music. Marilyn Manson, DMX. Like, it's funny how they fall in the whole, the same kind of realm.
Yeah, horror rap kind of thing.
But that, and, you know, that's the funny thing. Like, when Belly first came out and they had that little black boy drawing in that circle, I didn't know that was supposed to represent the devil. I had no clue what that little kid was doing with them candles.
I don't even remember that part.
Did you watch Belly in the theater or did you watch it at home?
In the theater.
Did you fall asleep?
I just remember ending, and I was like, is this the end?
What's Did you get there late?
No.
Yeah, I tried so hard to get them color contacts. I put them things in my eyes once. They burned so much. I was like, man, I don't know how they did this for half a movie.
Better quality.
Yeah. I feel like it wasn't better quality. Anything with DMX, I feel like it's probably not the greatest quality. Yeah. Who directed that movie? Hype Williams? He was pretty big at that time, so he probably had a lot of money.
Yeah. The singles, and, you know, they played at the club, and I
liked
them.
He's got one of the worst verses of all time, though.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
What these bitches want from an N-word. He raps just names for a whole verse. And I have to say, that
but
is...
But of all his verses, that's what went viral.
That went viral?
Yeah, that was a challenge where you changed up your hair and stuff for every girl. And like,
what? Is this on TikTok?
Perhaps.
Is this when TikTok first came out?
Yeah, I mean,
you know I don't keep up with challenges.
It was the whole thing.
You're supposed to change
up your style for every girl's name that he
says. Really?
Yeah, he never said that.
No, thank God. Thank goodness.
Because that was a thing.
Yeah, I hated that verse. I feel like it was just... Like, and I'm not the whole rappity rap guy. Would you say I'm that way? I wouldn't say, like, I'm the whole rap. Like, I don't analyze. Rappers. I take it it is for what it is. But when you're just naming names, about three Kims,
yeah,
Latoya, and Tina.
It was a DMX challenge.
But,
yeah, I know that's you hated that.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
Yeah, I'll
see
you
some
DMX challenges.
No, I don't see any DMX challenges. And because I'm such a fan of DMX, I was so disappointed. But you know, what can you do?
Yeah, people like it.
Everybody likes those challenges.
No, I think the verse. That's how they thought it was.
It wasn't clever. Just naming names that rhyme.
I think they thought it was clever.
Rakim would be so upset. Even though there's a whole video out there with Rakim and DMX like fanboying on each other, so he would never admit it. Eminem would never, the white savior would never.
He's going to come sit fanboy.
Ain't that what they call when they start doing that with each other? They fanboy over each other?
Yeah.
Hey, who is Kevin Samuels?
I'm not sure.
All right, so my man, shout out to my man P. He got his baby sister visiting him in town. She's like 30. And he was like, yeah, I'm trying to introduce her to Kevin Samuels. And I've been telling these chicks about Kevin Samuels and how to think like that for years. And I have no idea what he's talking about. I thought that was the dude that got that cheated on his wife, but that's just, it's another dude. So I didn't even like pay attention to it. But it's funny how the world works. This is what makes me think the world is a simulation, because he said that to him. Because happy shout out to my man, happy birthday P, happy birthday my man, M Extra Money. We just celebrated his birthday last week. But I listen to the Joe Button podcast all the time, and he was like, I got an interview with Kevin Samuel, and women were upset about it. So I guess it's about these whole this whole wave of Think Like a Man stuff that Steve Harvey was on, but it's more about how women need to take accountability for their actions and their thoughts, which is probably true. But, I mean, I think that's true about anybody. Like, if you want to be equal, then we also take accountability for what we do, what we say, what we accept and do not accept in relationships. But, so, okay. I was just wondering if you knew.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, then we'll save it for next week. What else we got? Oh, so we never talked about Quavo and Sweetie.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Yep.
We talked about Quavo and Sweetie. Sweet. See, let me get that off of this. So did you say he was wrong in that situation?
Yes, I did, when you said he wasn't.
Yeah, how do you get mad at him for defending himself?
It's just... it's this good, and you wrong about how much money you got. Go buy another. Who cares?
Why
stop trying to push people around.
Why do you have to break my stuff, though?
She don't look like there's something she can break.
See?
I don't think she's trying to break it. I didn't see that. But that's what y'all saw.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're not going to agree on that.
It was too much on all me, but I just felt like he was Goku, and he looked up at the
I don't agree. I think he realized that no matter what, he was going to look like the bad guy, even though she was trying to assault him and vandalize his items. All right. So next thing, old topic I got in here is our Atlanta show. We just got back from Atlanta a couple weeks ago. Had a good time down there visiting the homies. Went to the College Hall of Fame, got some grub, had some of the homies pull up on me while I was down there. Shout out to my brothers, sisters, and family, and all that stuff. So, DJ C-Tire, what did you think of our trip visiting Georgia? Did you have any thoughts? Did you have any observations? Did you notice anything? Did you feel anything? What did you think about our trip to Georgia?
Nothing. It's a big
thing.
Just a different
like
Atlanta changed a lot since
the
last time I've been there. And
when's the last time you've been? Freak Nick 96? No?
No.
Look at them girls with the Daisy Dukes on. I bought you two. Look at them girls with the Daisy Dukes on.
It's been a good, I guess, good 15 years, I guess. Hasn't been that long? Yeah, that's cool. Because we've never been, have we?
Freaknik? Atlanta. No, not together.
You've been since we've
been together? Have I been to Atlanta since me have you? So when did we consider being together? Because that's a little hazy. Those are my heavy drinking years. So, no, I guess I haven't been to Atlanta since me and you've been together.
Yeah.
Just Savannah. Maybe Savannah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Atlanta, baby. He from Savannah, maybe. I forgot how that line goes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, nothing.
So, when's the last time you been? Freaking Nick 96?
I said no. I said about 15 years ago.
Ain't that when we met?
No.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Yeah.
Man, we getting old. You can't remember.
16 years ago, then. I don't know.
Now you're stuck. You
caught.
No,
I don't know.
It might be like 2002
or something, 2001,
2000.
I don't know. It might be that long ago. All right, so what were your observations of Georgia? They don't wear masks. unless a facility told them they had to. But they weren't concerned about Corona.
Yeah, was that basically it? That's all you got to say about our trip?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Just name observation.
Yeah, so DJ C. Sermon, one of my observations, GA wide open. Like GA is wide open. Like it's a completely different feel than what we have in Southeast Virginia. Like we went to a restaurant just to get a burger. We just got in town. You know, pulled up to the homie crib. He's like, yo, it's about to grub. All right, cool. Went to the spot. We got on masks. they at the bar, like, ordering. C-Rock, like, looking at us, like, why y'all got masks on? Like, you're already inside. It's probably true. You know, you're already in there, so it's, unless you got one of them real nice N91 masks or whatever they are, you know, you're just at the whim of whoever decides to cough in the air. But they wasn't even trying down there. You could tell in the streets it was just a different feel. I mean, now nobody said anything, but again, who's gonna say anything to us? Like, you're not gonna shame me because I want to wear a mask. It's just not gonna happen. And in the same token, I would never shame you for not wearing one. Like, it doesn't. Like, we all are adults. I don't understand the people who wear masks and don't put masks on their kids. That doesn't make any sense. I would like to have that conversation. But if you don't feel like mask work, you don't want to wear a mask, cool. If a restaurant refuses to let you in because you don't want to wear a mask, cool. You know, so it's just, you know, it's just freedom of people's thoughts and feelings, right? So GA was wide open, but I was impressed. I don't remember Atlanta looking that good last time because Atlanta ate some beautiful homes. We my man hit me up about some barbecue restaurant. Yo, I had this brontosaurus bone, no homo. It's just this big-ass bone that looked like it was way overcooked. I didn't think there was no way I was going to enjoy it. Man, it was amazing. I don't know where we were at. We got through some real nice neighborhoods and then came up on graffiti, and next thing you know, it was like a barbecue joint. So Atlanta's, and you didn't really notice the graffiti, did you? Oh, you did notice? When we turned on that road with a barbecue spotlight, it went from being real, real nice neighborhoods to just graffiti along the wall where the train was. Yeah, you can tell the neighborhood was changing. Gentrification. But, you know, the barbecue joint, what was it, Fox Bros Barbecue? I guess recommended there. Shout out to my boy Javiani, my boy Scrap, my boy Russell, my brother Willie, Minivan, thanks for pulling up. And visit a homie while I was out there. But, yeah, man, but GA wide open. But driving through those neighborhoods, man, one, I forgot how hilly Atlanta was. That ain't an easy city to jog. But down there, man, they were beautiful. Like, I guess Atlanta getting money. Atlanta has to be getting money because those houses down there, like, all the neighborhoods, all of them look great. Now, we were in Atlanta City and north of Atlanta, and I heard things change once you get south of Atlanta. I don't believe that. I don't know it. I haven't really been around to experience it. But I can personally say Atlanta looked beautiful. Now the traffic was out of control. I don't know how people live there and deal with that. There was no way I could live in Atlanta and not be like a bicycle distance from my job. Because we got to Atlanta and it was traffic coming in, right? We're like, all right, cool. We got here in the late afternoon. You know, it was a long drive. It was about a 9-hour trip. Cool, we get there. We pull in, you know, they said hit the spot, whatever. The next morning, we're like, yo, let's hit the city. Head down to the city, traffic. Right? We in the city chilling. We come back later that night, traffic. And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, yo, why is there dead stop traffic at 11 o'clock at night? Sunday, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. We about to head back home. Traffic, and I'm like, yo, just no way. There's just never any time that there's not traffic. So I would never move there. But GA wide open. But it looked like, I tell you what, it looked like a beautiful, beautiful city. Looked like it's very affordable. I don't know what the taxes are like. But it looks like they're not allowing black people to vote. DJ Cesar, what do you think about the GA voting thing, the little voting rights out there? that they're changing down there to restrict people from having easy access to vote.
They lost the election. They say we can't have these people come in and vote.
I guess it's how you lead. I guess that's how you legally fight, right? Like, if Georgia says, yo, we had this election, it was fair, it was just, but we lost. How did we lose? A lot of people voted that shouldn't have voted. Why shouldn't they have voted? Maybe they were felons. Maybe they weren't residents long enough. But most people that I've heard are against these voting rights that have been passed in Georgia. I mean, Major League Baseball has pulled the All-Star game out of Georgia. Something else was supposed to go in Atlanta, and they pulled out because of these voting rights. Now, Augusta happened, the Masters happened. They ain't pulled that out. That's old rich money, and they ain't never going to pull that out of Augusta, which it's still funny because Augusta isn't the nicest city in the world. I've been to Augusta. And the fact that they have that much money, that land, that pristine and looks like that, and the rest of the city still looks like that. And I love you, Augusta. I don't want no problems. Like, I've been in the back of the pickup trucks with dudes with pit bulls fighting on the back on their stomach in Augusta. I don't want no problems. I've seen what Augusta breeds. But the fact that they have that much money in the city around it looks like that is scary. But, and what was I talking about? So the GA voting bill. I mean, we don't have to get too deep in it because it's just us two. I mean, it's a bit of a serious topic. But I guess let me ask you the theory. What should be the voting restrictions of any American? Theory-wise, DJ Susan, just in theory. Who should be allowed to vote?
Every. Where are we going with this? I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
I know it's tough. So let me give you my thought. People say only American citizens can vote. No illegal immigrants can vote. People will say no, what do you call them? Resident aliens can vote. All right. They also say women shouldn't. So black people shouldn't vote, right? But, I mean, we're past that part. But now we're talking about who should vote, right? And I think it's the most simplest way to put it. Anyone that pays taxes should vote. If you don't pay taxes, you shouldn't vote. Simply because the politicians who run the corporations and, well, the corporations who pay for the politicians and get these people in lobbyists, they're affected by what we taxpayers do. So if you pay taxes, whether you're a drug dealer and you're making money on the side, but you're still paying taxes because you don't want to get caught for tax evasion. It's one thing to get caught for selling drugs, distribution. It's another thing to be caught for tax evasion. If you sell drugs, but you pay your taxes, you just get a vote. If you're an illegal immigrant, you're getting paid on the table, but you want to get caught for tax evasion and get deported, you get a vote. Should be that easy to me. But I'm pretty sure it's a lot more complicated. But if you pay taxes, it should be that much easier. Did we ever talk about Cyborg's beef with the Justice League?
Flores supposed to start that.
All right, so
we started it, but
you
were supposed to go
in definitely
with it.
All right. Oh, man, we forgot. Because my funny comment, I guess it wasn't funny because DMX died. But I did want to discuss who was our favorite crackhead.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't mean this as a disrespect to DMX, but he did smoke crack, right? But when we talk about our visions of crackheads and the ones that we love, the first one that comes to mind is Chris Rock and Pookie.
He's not a real crackhead.
Right. He's just playing a crackhead.
He's a fictional crackhead.
Fictional. Fictional character, not true. You're absolutely right. So who was our favorite real creature?
Which is bad. It makes it a little bit softer, but anyway.
My top four.
Four.
I got four. DMX, rest in peace. ODB, rest in peace. Flavor Flav, still out here kicking it. He beefing with Chuck D, but he's still out here kicking it. Whitney Houston. That only she ain't smoke it. And I guess I could throw Bobby Brown in there. So who is Black Twitter's favorite cracker?
I don't know.
Because I don't mean this in a disrespectful fashion. You know what I mean? Because we love all these people. This ain't a situation where I'm cracking jokes on people that we didn't really like. This ain't no R. Kelly situation where we think that, oh, his music was dope, but he did something that's kind of foul. Like, you know, yeah, the fact that they smoke crack sucked. But
it was just weird because I guess it's just you. Like, I went for a long time not knowing that Flav was a crackhead. But he acted like a crackhead. Like, we should have. Like, I should have
been
known.
Real easy.
Man was under the influence of drugs, but
has it been confirmed that Flavor Flav was on crack?
Yes, there was a story that Chuck D even said that they were performing on MTV, some young TV raps, and friggin' vial, crack vial, dropped out his pocket
when they were performing Night of the Living Bases.
I know, which is so messed up. Like that's probably why they think he was on drugs. He was talking about people on drugs. And selling drugs, and I just didn't think that was the one hype man of the one group that's raising up our community was on crack. While they're talking about people on crack, I mean, I guess it was a personal situation going on.
So who's your favorite crackhead?
ODB.
ODB? He's definitely.
I don't know.
But
he was on something, but not quite sure what it was.
Anytime, it's the same thing with DMX. Anytime you see these dudes who have such a troubled life, but are extremely talented, extremely successful. Like, to be able to see the talent in ODB is just, like, you had to have a gift for that. Because I wouldn't think that he was good at anything. But people kept saying how talented he was. I mean, Method Man wrote his raps and all that stuff, but he was still talented enough where, like, it was just a good feeling having him around, as they always say. But, like, anytime, like, ODB starts singing one of them old 70s Motown joints, even when DMX did it, it always put a smile on him. I mean, like I said, DMX singing the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, it's just a classic. It's just a classic. Man, my favorite's going to be Whitney, though. She from Jersey.
What about Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson wasn't all crack, was he?
I don't know.
Who knows what Mike? Mike said he did the toes.
Oh, I don't know. I'm still singing the...
Oh, the Monster Mash. That is the greatest video, him and Bobby Brown. And I definitely don't want no problems with Mike. Even though I feel like at 40, I might be able to get Mike. I probably will. Like, when you're a professional fighter all your life, like, him being a professional fighter at 60 and me not being able to be a professional fighter at 40, I'm pretty sure he'd still get me. But I feel like I would be able to rush him in time before he had knocked me out. But yeah, that Monster Mash Bobby Brown video is just—it's one of my favorite videos to watch during the holiday season. I have it, so it always pops up on my Facebook feed every year. All right, so what else we got? What else we got? We were supposed to talk about the George Floyd trial. I guess it's not. I guess I shouldn't even frame it that way. It's not the George Floyd trial. It's what's that boy? What's that white boy named Chauvin? is his trial.
Derek
Chauvin. So it looks like the closing arguments will be Monday for the prosecution and defense. And then the jurors got to deliberate and decide if he'll be convicted of second-degree murder. Do they ride if he gets off?
Yeah.
Not what do you want. What do you think happened? Because they just had another murder up there. And I don't know. But it doesn't seem like it's that big of a protest going on.
I don't know. They've been out there.
Why is Minnesota so fucked up? We just met two people from Minnesota yesterday, and they seem like the nicest country talking. Oh, it's one of the neighbor's parents. So they've been here since, like, she said they've been here past the winter. They're headed back next month. But they've been here since November. And she's like, oh, you got to visit Minnesota. She said Minneapolis. She said, you got to visit Minneapolis. It's a beautiful place. It's great people. I said, well, I can't go right now. And she was like, why? And I was like, I'm black. And she said, oh. And I felt so bad because she's about 80. I shouldn't have did that to her. But she seemed like a nice lady. She knew exactly what I meant. As soon as I said I'm black, she knew exactly what I was implying.
I mean, I don't know. I guess in my mind, anywhere outside of the eastern northeast, I just assume it's going to be rough for black people anyway. Just how it goes.
Really? I guess.
Minus Boston.
Yeah, Boston's awful.
But then Boston's
like the last racist northeast stronghold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it goes.
Shout out to my neighbor. That's my neighbor. He's from Boston.
I just don't know how it goes in Maine. I don't know.
Damn.
I don't know. I think it might just be
it. Look, Maine is fucked up. I told you, so I just listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago. And this is just real random on the offering because it's just me and DJ. She's siren, and she's in the bed relaxing. And I might call tonight and give y'all an hour tonight. But I just listened to this podcast, Snap Podcast, is what DJ C-Siren got me on. Snap Judgment. And it's about this particular podcast was about a dude. Like, the amount of fuck it that he had, I just admired. Right, so it was a dude in Maine. He was working a job, which he was like, it was all right, it was cool. But he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be around people. So he pulled his car over to the road, looked around, and basically said, fuck it, and walked in the woods and decided to just live there. And, you know, he started breaking in people's cabins because he needed food and all that stuff. But he was so meticulous. Because he didn't want anybody to find him, that he would walk in other people's footsteps to their cabins, break in. He wouldn't steal anything but food and clothing if it was the winter. He would steal food in the summer, but only clothing if it was the winter and it was about to be cold. And then he would walk in the same exact footsteps back so people couldn't track him. He was that meticulous. And then he realized that at one point in the winter, like if the snow got about, I want to say, it was to the point where like the snow wouldn't melt, he just wouldn't leave his area. Like he grounded up enough nuts and berries that he could last like a month so that he wouldn't have to walk and make fresh new tracks anyway. And he was that nuts, right? And it was only because he didn't want to be bothered with nobody. Like, it was to the point when somebody finally found him, so they finally caught him stealing something. Oh, man, damn. Now, see, I've been drinking tonight. They caught him stealing something.
They don't really say what it was.
They finally caught him. And he couldn't talk because he ain't said a word in like 2 years. He could barely talk. Like he was just talking like, because all he did was read. So like he could bet like he was talking as if he was in like 19th century. And it's a great podcast. So if you ever get a chance, go on Snap Judgment and find the Pond Man. I just call him the Pond Man. I don't know what that means. Yeah, the Hermit of Pond or something like that. But just check it out. But I just admire his fucking because it's like my job to send me an email back. And again, I've been blessed, right? I'm not even gonna sugarcoat. I've been blessed. I've been working home for the last year. Today, me and DJ Shishan got a bunch of stuff done with the house in the middle of me working. Like, you know, if my boss needs me, I'm there or whatever. But I'm blessed. I'm home working. And my job just sent me an email and was like, yo, you need to be back in the office June 28th. And the first thing that came in my mind was like, well, I need to quit and find another job. Now, I have been working at this job and going to the office every single day. But when COVID hit last year and I've been home, now I said I want to stay home. And it's just like, you can't be that spoiled. So, yeah, man, fine about that. That podcast, because it's a good and it's an interesting one. Let's see. So we talked about, so no one really cares about Chauvin. What's your favorite guilty pleasure show, DJ Susana?
Show?
Mm-hmm.
90 Day Fiancé.
That's the show that you know is bad, but that you love and you watch anyway.
Right.
What do you get out of it? You just enjoy the drama of it? What do you enjoy about it?
I think it, I don't know, what that show would depend. Some people, I just really want to see them. Actually, I know, it's a lot going on with this video.
Yeah, what the hell, who is this?
Is it?
Oh, that's, why she got the Mario mushrooms?
I think it's the song.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot going
on. God bless her.
Some of them, I just really want their relationship to stay together. I mean, I guess that's what it is. Like, because of the situation that they are in, it's naturally stressful. And there's a lot of deadlines and a lot of things you leave out, you know, to get together. So.
You know, that could have been me. I dated a girl from Jamaica and got deported. If we'd have stayed together.
You would have brought her back to the U.S. on a 90-day fiancé visa?
I would have had to try, right?
Yeah.
If I still liked her. Why are you making that face? This is before you.
I don't care. Who does that? Nobody makes those decisions.
No, don't you have a friend that just went to, like, Ireland, who's on 90 Day, who's meeting the first time in, like, Scotland?
My coworker.
Your coworker, right?
She's leaving in 2 weeks.
Did you tell her the same thing? Like, no, don't do it? It's only because of me. You can't separate your love from me.
I'm just saying. But
you know what it's going to turn into. She gonna go there and get her.
Different situation. You already knew the person, but you didn't want to marry them. But why would you do that just to keep them in the country?
Well, I said if we still stayed together. So I'm saying I'm projecting that if we didn't have a horrible breakup and we stayed together, like I would have been up to the decision of keeping trying to get this woman to stay in the United States. Of course, we would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Well, now that did happen. Well. That kind of happened with one of the couples. I've just said that's usually not the situation, though, that it's someone they already knew that was just there on a work visa, that was already in the U.S. on a work visa. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or travel visa. But.
Yeah, she was on an education visa.
Okay.
Which I didn't even know that there were those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go to Towson, of all places? Like, if you're going to come from a different country. When you try to go somewhere like more established, and I love Towson, but I mean, at least shoot for Harvard.
You still got to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's people from all over to get everywhere. But
anyway.
shout out to the Virgin Island crew. I still want to go to the Virgin Islands.
That's it. So that was one couple, but over the seasons, that's usually not the situation. That's not the, or, you know, so she wanted to stay, or she really didn't want to stay in the U.S., but he, I don't know what she wanted to do, I don't know, but they decided that he was the American, and he decided to go to Mexico. To work on the relationship, but instead of her, you know, anyway. But I think that might have just been because she had not overstayed, but her work visa was in limbo.
Dumb moment I had this week. You know, I pride myself being an intelligent person. Not the most intelligent person, but I pride myself because I read a lot of different stuff. I view a lot of different stuff. But I had one of the dumbest moments of my life last week. So I'm viewing the map of America. I'm just reviewing the geography. I'm going state by state. I'm going region by region. I'm looking mountains. I'm looking rivers. And I'm just looking, right? And I just start, like, paying attention. Like, oh, yeah, so-and-so lives here. So-and-so lives in this state. I'm going from east to west, right? I'm looking, okay, Canada, Great Lakes. This is why, you know, so much lake snow hits Buffalo. Like, I'm looking at this. I'm just looking at the geography. Like, that's why Buffalo weather is so bad. Look how close it is to Erie and all stuff, right? I don't know why I do this type of stuff. It's a weird part of my life, right? But I get to Arizona, and, of course, Hove lives there. Again, I am just looking at the map of the United States. The rest of the map outside of the United States is blue. Like it represents the ocean. So I'm looking at Arizona. I'm like, okay, man, so the mountain chain is in here, like the Colorado River. Like, I'm really worried about Hove and the family because they ain't going to have water because this Colorado River dries up because it dumps into California and splits in Nevada and all stuff. And I was like, man, yeah, but they are on the coast, man. I guess what's the good beaches out there in Arizona? And I said it to myself. I said, there's got to be something. You know, Phoenix is a little, middle of the state. You know, I got it. I wonder what's the south part, because I had just looked at the Florida Panhandle, and because I've been to Panama City, and I just looked at the Florida Panhandle. Like, okay, that's why Mississippi hangs out on the Florida Panhandle, because it just is that end right there to go Panama City. You know, I almost lost a nipple there. And again, the entire map is blue. So
the map is blue or outside?
The outside of the United States is blue. The entire outside of that. So I call Hope, and this is why my friends are so great. Is that a nipple I just saw? And this is why my friends are great. And I call them, I'm like, yo. I gotta make a trip out there. We gotta hit an Arizona beach. We gotta go to the south of Arizona and hit a beach. Mm-hmm. Was that just her middle finger?
Mm-hmm.
And they can show that on TV. It looks like a Shanti. With the Gucci bucket.
Who is this?
I don't know. But, so I hit my man Hove up and I said, yo, what good beaches y'all got out the south of Arizona? Let's get together and make a family trip and hit a beach to south because we're headed out there. Let's hit one of the beaches in the south of Arizona. And he said to me, he was like, what? I said, what's the beaches y'all got at the southern border of Arizona? He said, beaches? It's Mexico. and it clicked. And I was like,
just didn't show
oh, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing to land down there. Ain't no beaches.
You play it off like you just playing?
Ain't no beaches. No. And I said, oh. And it's that one moment where it's like, oh, yeah, you're an idiot. But see, and that's what I love about myself because I can call myself an idiot and realize that I just made a mistake and I don't have to try and be right.
Yeah.
I don't have to fight anybody that says, well, no, that's not what the map says. The world is flat. Like, no, I just made a mistake. I had a mistake in my head. For some reason, I thought the world ended at the south of American border. And it was beaches all down there. And just like in Panama City on that. Rooney did it, and I forgot. Oh, no.
It changes over there.
Mexico.
Mexico. I don't like those situations, but I don't,
I feel like I didn't know what was going on, and they all come back to me, and I still feel embarrassed about it to this day.
Why? When you have dumb moments? Why? Just people have dumb moments every day on the internet.
I don't say why. I don't know. It's just I just don't like it.
Just don't like it. Don't feel bad. Okay. Okay. What else we got? What else we got? Pollen is back. You know, people gonna accuse us of having COVID. I've been sneezing my face off. But drink your bee pollen.
Joyner Lucas.
Oh, that's Joyner Lucas. He looks just like Davies.
Yeah,
Davey, but smaller. But they all look the same. Was that Jordan Lucas too? They doing the whole Chance the Rapper. I've never seen this video.
Oh, that's a good video.
Never seen it. Shout out to Chance the Rapper. But guess it's his birthday. All right, so Hubert Davis says he's proud that his wife is white. Is that a problem?
Right, but why?
Because he is the first black, I guess, African American. I don't know what I was saying with offense people. He's the first black University of North Carolina head coach in basketball history.
What did his white wife do?
Well, they asked him what does it mean to him. And he was giving it the normal rounds about how proud he is. And then he said that I'm proud that my wife is white. And I'm proud that my kids are a mixture of us.
Doesn't make sense.
I guess that's my thing. Because if you choose to marry a black woman, good for you. Right? But again, this is my view. Right? This is my personal view. If you choose to marry a white woman, God bless you. You choose to marry a dude, God bless you. Like, I can care less. But if someone says, yo, God, what does it mean to you to be the first black accountant in Virginia? And I ended with, I'm proud that my wife is black. That lets me know there's a deeper issue. So and this is what I hate about coaches. He's trying to say the correct thing without thinking. Because he's trying to make sure that he says how proud he is of being black and how proud he is of being in this position. But he didn't want to leave his wife out when it had nothing to do with his wife. This was just about coaching. This was just about influencing these young gentlemen. You try to get them to the NFL. And it's funny because his best white recruit left, decided to transfer. Yeah. It's a great conundrum. It's like, yo, this black dude who's married to a white woman. excuse me. This black dude who's married to a white woman professes his love about how proud he is to be married to a white woman. And then his greatest white recruit leaves once he gets hired because the white man who had the job before him retired. It's all funny if you will, but I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could say it because he was nervous. It just seemed unnecessary. But it's like, it's one thing to say, I'm proud of my wife because she's the, I don't know.
She ain't the first white wife of a coach that I hate to tell you.
No, I don't know.
She might be the first wife of a black coach.
I don't know, but I just thought it was just unnecessary.
It was a little, weird.
Yeah.
But you know, I hope the best for him. I'm not a UNC fan, but they were terrible this year. But so was Duke. A lot of that has to do with the recruiting process and about the way the season went with COVID. So, you know, hopefully Hubert can restore them to greatness. And I hope he's always proud of the woman that he marries. We should all be proud of the woman that he married, right?
Go Kentucky.
Hubert Davis? Or his wife? Oh, the basketball team. Yeah. Go Kentucky.
I'm saying, oh, well, he don't care.
All right, so what else we got? So Joe Rogan's podcast, at one point, he had been interviewed by the leader of the Proud Boys.
He was interviewed by the Proud Boys?
No, he interviewed the leader of the Proud Boys. And they took it down. Because, of course, the backlash, right? Proud Boys was the whole part of Trump's last year. A lot of controversy. And they decided to take the YouTube clip down. I have a problem with that. We should be adults. Out of all the misinformation that's going on in America, right? You should still be able to review things and come up with your own conclusion. You should be able to review information. So if Joe Rogan was interviewing a racist white man, and a white dude said, he's not racist, I seen the Joe Rogan interview. And I could say, nah, yeah, that's a far-right racist white dude that he was interviewed by. And the white dude says, no, I looked at the interview. There's nothing racist about it. I should have a chance to go watch that and make a judgment for myself. And when they start removing videos, not because of violence, but just because of ideals, I get worried.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't because of who the interview or how the interview went. Because, I mean, did the interview, like, maybe content in the interview that they just thought was probably not.
Well, they're getting rid of anything considered hate speech. Now, from what I understood, there was nothing really hate speech about it. It was just more about life in the woods. But I haven't seen it either, so I don't really know. But it wasn't like nothing like crazy, from what I understand. But because he said other crazy stuff on his Twitter in other interviews, they decided to remove that interview, even though he didn't say anything crazy on Joe Rogan's podcast, which is probably smart, because he probably understood the company he kept. I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan has a lot of black people around him. Not even a lot, but I'm pretty sure it's mixed.
I mean,
there's a lot of black people on this podcast. There's a lot of people.
Well, my question is, why did he go in the first place? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess when you're Joe Rogan, you interview everybody, right? You interview anybody who's popular. The leader of the Proud Boys is popular. I don't know. All right. So what else we got? Greenland. I have Greenland on here, and I don't know why. So I'll make a star for that. Philip.
Well, no,
I
thought it seemed out, but he never looked it up, so.
What? What happened with Greenland? They got all them rats.
Stopping the Chinese backed company from trying to mine their minerals.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to come back to that. That's deep. Asians buying guns. Yeah, because y'all keep fucking them up. Of course they're going to buy guns. Active shooter. We never talked about the one in Colorado. They just had one in FedEx. I guess we're going to save that for next time. Tina Turner died. I didn't realize that once she stopped fucking with Ike, she only fucked with, like, white people.
Yeah, well, I don't only.
And that was, like, a big part of contention within the black community.
Well, I don't know about all that. I don't think we care. I don't know. Maybe someone cares.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, yeah.
I mean, we just want to stop getting beat, right?
Yeah. We just happened she made it out.
But they say in the Tina Turner doc, they, you know, discuss how bad, like, Ike was treated.
Did you watch it?
No. So, we'll save that for next week. The Masters. Oh, what a just a great spectacle. It's the Masters is just a beautiful event. It's a lot of racism in the Masters, but we don't have to get into all that. It's just, shout out to the Japanese dude who killed that joint. And I didn't realize how big golf was in Japan, but, you know, my man went out there and did his thing. All right, what else we got to clean up? Blur wanted to talk about, can you get mad when you're in heaven?
No.
Why not?
Because What is there to get mad at?
So Blur gave the example that if I want to get mad because somebody did something I didn't want them to do, or what if I get mad at that I just made my mortgage payment on Tuesday and I died on Wednesday? Like, I could have used that money for something else. So I'm going to be up in heaven mad because I just made my mortgage.
I don't think you remember any earthly issues once you're in heaven.
Okay, but I think we're going to save that for when the blur is on. But I agree. I said that any stress that could give you, that would accompany you in heaven, I think would be gone. So, but that brings us back to our whole, if you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. And why can't Lil Nas X have a hell shoot? So our house is entirely vaccinated. Do you feel like someone's controlling your mind?
No. Well, not entirely. We have a child. Two of us. That's eligible.
Right. Well, I'm not counting the kid, but I'm just saying that they're saying that these vaccines are controlling our minds, so I just want to know if you feel like you've done anything.
Controlled.
Yeah, controlled.
That's been controlled.
Because you've been vaccinated, what, about a month prior for me?
Mm-hmm.
You've been vaccinated, like fully vaccinated, like a month more than me, right?
Yeah, probably.
So I don't think you've done anything like controlled stuff, but you never know what happened to the dude in FedEx. Like, I started to make that joke about the dude who just killed a bunch of people in FedEx. Like, you know, he just got vaccinated. They probably told him to do that. But there would be people who would believe me. That's the problem. Go to sleep. DJ C-Sire falling off. We go to sleep. So I guess we got to talk about the mass murders. I asked you about the Guilty Pleasure Show. My name is Earl. If you haven't seen My Name is Earl, you should check. Heavenly Good Man. We talked about the best crackhead. So the Pentagon revealed that UFOs are real. And knowing, why isn't that big news?
Is it true? But
yes.
I thought someone had posted it, but I just didn't, the news source, I wasn't
really kidding. The Pentagon said that UFOs, isn't this what you wanted? Cool conspiracy theories.
The media has been overtaking it. If it had been 10 years ago, it would have been actually something people would have been really, really, really excited about. But, no.
UFOs are here.
Well, didn't they say something about UFOs? Didn't the Pentagon say something about UFOs a couple years ago? Or they saw something, they said that they... We did say that was in, like, the airspace or how fast they were going really did confirm that it was unidentifiable.
Yeah. It was all declassified.
Right. Yeah. And it got released. So I'm like, is this really new? Didn't they already?
Yeah, but they just released, like, 50 other documents on other stuff that all were different UFOs.
Yeah.
I got aliens being upset with us. Like, I got them just being disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe that's what the chips are doing.
Yeah. Maybe
calling them?
Maybe the aliens gave Johnson & Johnson. Maybe, like, the bad aliens, like the black aliens, gave the Johnson & Johnson back. Give them the blood clots. All right, man. We're going to call that a show. We gave you an hour and a half, man. Thanks for joining us. We cleaned up a couple of stuff. We can start fresh next week. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I just want to keep it quiet and quiet. Catch y'all next week. Go to bed, sir. Why are they then?
Here I come. You want to be. Here I come. You say, yeah, you better come out, bitch. Go ahead, girl. We got you surrounded. I'm in the back. Change in my outfit. He said, wait. Here I come. You want to be. Here I come. You say, yeah. so you can go to sleep. Your hands up, we got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changing my outfit. We said break, we were in the habit. I said wait, here I come, here I come.